Welcome back to Killer Fun, where we explore the intersection of crime and entertainment every other week. I'm Christy, and today, this is our final in our summer series of outtakes from the first half of the year. We've got all kinds of great stuff for you, and we'll be back next time with a fresh, brand new episode, but I'll tell you more about that at the end. We're going to start things off this time with our outtakes from The One, Sci-Fi Matchmaking. We have Fun with Names, a documentary about how YouTube algorithms serve radicalizing content, DNA methylation, car accidents, when should you pick a partner, all kinds of stuff. It's so much fun, so enjoy.
Ripley is not happy with the lack of names.
I guess not. The dog does not like no names being said. Yep, so an Elle Australia article by Deandra Malvinindi. So an Elle Australia article by Elle, no, an Elle, so James said, sorry, I thought I was going to belch. I didn't want to do that loud. You know, and then things like their YouTube watching history could maybe also.
Well, that might be true.
I'm thinking of, there was, I don't remember what it was called, but I watched a whole, I don't remember if it was a movie or a short series, but about a guy who got radicalized by YouTube, basically, and then kind of came out the other side, and they like looked through his whole YouTube history. That's what made me.
Yeah, that I understand.
Like, oh, did he watch some nefarious, he gets served up something nefarious on YouTube, and now they're like a completely different person than
Except
you thought they were.
Except that in order to do that, you have to trigger the algorithm.
Yeah, but
so
it's.
Whose fault really is it?
Well, the algorithm, I blame YouTube for that one.
Yeah.
It was based on, it was something relatively, and it was like 2014. Mm-hmm. When he started traveling down this path, and he watched something relatively innocuous. And but because he watched that and people who watched that had also watched these radical videos, that's what he got served. And so he'd see one, even though it was, you know, woodworking or something innocuous, benign, completely. And, oh, but people who watched that also watched this. And well, that first one's not so radical, but then you keep going. That one's not so radical, but it's a little bit. And people who watch that also watch this.
Well, that's,
and they also watch this. And then, you know, then it's this big, ugly, horrible.
Right. Yeah. No, that makes sense. That makes sense.
They changed their algorithm since then.
And I've heard a lot about how they've tightened that up. So anyway.
So they mentioned when they were talking about the science behind stuff, they mentioned DNA methylation. A bunch.
Yeah.
They kept saying it. And I think it was sort of like the CHCs where they just were like, let's throw out scientific words and people won't know what we're talking about. It'll sound good. But DNA methylation is actually really interesting. It's a chemical reaction, whereas methyl groups, I don't know exactly what those are, but they're groups of chemicals. And they get attached to a DNA molecule. Now, they don't change the sequence of the DNA, but they change how the DNA behaves.
Right, the expression of the gene.
Right, and they think that that's part of normal development associated with mammals in particular. And it's, they think part of the aging process is that these methylations are attaching to strands of DNA, causing them to behave differently. And that's why you end up with wrinkles and gray hair and different things.
Interesting.
Yeah. But it was, I was just, what is DNA methylation? Are they even using that right?
Yeah,
right. They were kind of using it right.
Kind of.
But
yeah.
I really think they were just trying to throw out words that sort of pseudoscience.
They didn't have a Mayim.
No.
Like Big Bang Theory had a Mayim, so fact checked.
That's right. Exactly. The PhD came in handy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So poor Sophia.
Yeah.
She came from a country that drives on the right.
Yeah.
And was in a country that drives on the left and looked the wrong way.
And went down the street
and got hit by a car. So I couldn't find a lot of examples of that, but there was a tourist in 2019. She was living in France, but is American. And she was driving to the airport to leave England.
Okay.
Or Scotland. And got confused and drove on the wrong side of the road and hit somebody and they died.
Oh.
And she wasn't diminished in any way. She wasn't drunk. She wasn't mm-hmm. using drugs. She wasn't speeding. The only thing she did was get confused.
Yeah.
And they convicted her, but they didn't put her in prison because she was very contrite. It was very genuine, her remorse.
Yeah.
So they had her do unpaid community service back in France where she lived. Mm-hmm. She didn't even have to stay in England and That's do it good. Because it was such an undue burden
it's
on
so
her.
Unfortunate.
I mean, it really is. And it was just, it was so, she was used to driving in a different environment. Mm-hmm. She'd driven in, you know, South America and Europe and the US and to change the way you drive can be difficult. You really yeah. have to be paying attention.
I can't even imagine trying
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
I really,
honestly,
I don't know.
No, I'm like put me in a cab.
I would, if I rode with somebody for a while, I think I could make the flip.
Yeah.
Fairly easy eventually. But I think, and not even, maybe not even that long. I just think that like, I would have to experience it as a passenger first.
That's fair.
You know, and not like in a bus. I'm talking about like as a, like riding shotgun kind of right. thing. Like, which is actually legit shotgun. That's why they actually drive on the left side of the road. Hello. Anyways, I digress. Yeah, it was so sad. And of course it brought up all these things. Now, Ken, my husband, he totally predicted that when they met, Sophia would be in a wheelchair. Because he expected a twist of like, what if you get matched with somebody and then they end up needing specialized care and what would that do? Like you're matched with this person, but this person is no longer actually going to be able to provide for you what you, and they're uh-huh. going to maybe burden you. And so he predicted this twist. Mm-hmm. He didn't predict that she would be hit by a car, but, and I don't know what happened since then, but like he predicted that there would be this question mm-hmm. because this question is a big question.
Yeah.
Like the people have to deal with this all the time.
But I can see why, you know, you might consider not matching people until their brains are fully formed.
Yeah, you might not. And yet there's this.
And I say that as somebody who got married before evidently my brain was fully formed.
Well, there's two schools of thought.
Uh-huh.
Right? There's the school of thought of wait until you have a fully formed brain. You're a little older, a little bit more stable, and can match with somebody who and really contribute well and healthily to the relationship. Then there's this other school of thought that says get married younger so you grow up together.
Okay.
And that helps you to form better
stronger bonds.
Mm-hmm. And you know, like this idea. And so it is kind of
So you're not set in your ways and right. trying to
yeah.
mesh those things.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Unfortunately, if I might do a broad brush between men and women, it seems to me that there should be some studies, there probably are, that say, well, getting married older for women is probably better.
Okay.
Getting married younger for men is probably better.
Oh, okay.
Well, and I'm about to say something really, really sexist, but I feel like most men could probably use a little help growing up. Right? Like, I feel like of the we grow up together, it's the male counterpart, the typical, stereotypical, the... You know, that maybe benefits from the fact that female brains do tend to be a little further ahead in that, and that there's something that's really beneficial for them. But it also makes the female likely less economically stable independently.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I could see how a female, which I think is why the millennial generation who is not getting married, I think it's the women who are actually the ones who are like, no.
Yeah.
I don't think it's the men. I think it's the women saying no. They're waiting until they have their careers, or at least they're starting their careers. They're more stable. They're trying to wait to have babies until they know, you know, where they're at. They're trying to be more independent. I mean, you know.
Well, from generations of kids who saw lots and lots of divorced parents and how difficult that was.
Yeah, the female suffers, by and large, drastically worse than the male.
Yeah.
Even so, that's true. I mean, we have to remember it was not in our lifetime, okay, but in our parents' lifetime that women could finally have a checking account by themselves. Ugh. It wasn't that long ago, y'all.
No, it was not.
It was not that long ago that women literally couldn't exist financially without a man.
Yeah, right? Whether that be a husband or their father or an older male relative or even a younger brother could, but it had to be a dude.
Yeah. So, I mean, so we see that the millennial generation is pushing it, and there's some, you know, survey kind of studies out there that have shown that the women are really pushing this because they're the ones who don't want to be married until they're stable. They don't have the ability to even think about the fact that they could be dependent on somebody else. Mm-hmm. Like, they're just not going to do that.
Yeah.
But I think the men might fare better.
They might benefit a little bit.
I don't know. Look at me. Like, these are big things. And of course, we talk about men and women because by and large, you know, you can, there's those categories and there's tendencies one way or the other, but, you know, that's a broad brush.
Right.
How that operates individually is not the same thing. It's not right. How science works, but.
Well, and, you know, same-sex couples have a lot of the same challenges that differently gendered couples have.
Oh, yeah.
And it's, I mean.
And some different and unique to them.
Right.
And, I mean, there's all kinds of things, but.
And yeah. So we're talking about like broad strokes rather than individual
and mostly
situations.
Cultural strokes of women in culture and men in culture. I mean, these are all, I mean, financial independence is a cultural decision, whether you're going to let women.
Yeah. Have a bank account of their own.
Right. Or whether you're going to propel men into higher roles than women. So, I mean, a lot of that's just cultural, not even having to do with DNA or genetic. It's just
for sure.
So, wow.
Next, we have our outtakes from iZombie, a zombie who works to save the human race. It's such a fun show. We really, really enjoyed it. I asked myself, do I have this pre-recorded bit? Yes, I do. We hear some planes fly over my house. Our breaks aren't nearly as glamorous as you might think. We talk about shockingly low heart rates. Jackie reaches the end of her drink. And the Bates Motel shared some writers with iZombie.
Yeah.
Whatever that is. Mm-hmm. And you can find us on Facebook, Killer Fun Podcast, exploring the intersection of crime and entertainment. You can find us on Twitter at Killer Fun Pod, or you can send us an email, killerfunpodcast@gmail.com. And I don't remember if I have a bug for that. Did I make one? I think I made one. I don't know. It doesn't matter. If I already have a bug for that, I'll just cut that part out.
Yeah, perfect.
I can't remember all of a sudden.
Well, we talked about doing it.
I think I did it.
Okay.
But now I can't remember for sure. This is why I write things down.
Yes.
Because I don't know. Okay. Yeah, I don't know either.
I'm days.
Pretty, yeah.
Moving on.
Yeah. This is a very loud plane.
Afterburners right now at 1:30. Yeah. Okay. Afterburners it is. If there's one, there's probably going to be more.
That's all right. It's fine. It probably the mics won't pick it up, but I normally don't even notice them anymore.
Yeah, but it's not usual for them to be hitting afterburners like in the middle and we're here.
Oh, yeah.
I just don't ever hear it when we're doing our podcast.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it is like different time than typical, though.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Headcanon was one like, that doesn't make sense to me.
It's like a throwaway way to Tropic Thunder. Oh, the head movies. Hold on.
Okay.
I just have to get over it. Okay.
Okay.
I'll have the giggles if I don't. Okay.
Okay. I gotta scratch between my boobs. Oh, I gotta sniff. My nose is leaking. I probably look like a cocaine addict. Swear I'm not. What is it? The white pony? Is that what they call it? Yeah, because it's horse.
We're a hot mess today.
We're a hot mess.
You're sitting there like that, and I'm like.
This is what happens when we record different. Everything gets all kerflustered.
No, it's so ridiculous. Oh my gosh.
Welcome back. Oh, no, I don't say that anymore.
No. Nope.
Because I have a bug for that.
That's right. That's mind-blowing. My dad actually has a very low heart rate for his age and because he was an athlete, too. Yeah. And, you know, he's got a great low heart rate, too. Better than mine, usually. So, you know, and he's 80.
It's not better or worse. It's just different.
That's not true.
It's different for everybody.
It is different for everybody, but it also, there is healthy and unhealthy ranges.
Right.
You do have to know that.
Like, right.
Yeah, you know, it's not like it's abnormal, but it may not be as healthy.
Okay.
It may not be abnormal that my heart rate is higher and resting at like 92, as in it's not like I am in cardiac arrest, AFib, BFib. I'm not having...
Yeah.
There's not a pathology at work there, but it's not exactly healthy
either. Okay. Okay.
So...
That's fair. Yeah, but just because his is lower than yours doesn't mean that it's better than yours. It's just different.
No, it's better. Mine literally is there because I'm not in shape and I have a heart condition. It is actually better.
Okay.
I'm going to fight for this one. I have to fight for this one.
I'm not going
to
fight anymore.
You're just sweet. You just don't want anybody to feel bad. But I don't feel bad about it.
Okay. Well, that's good.
I feel good knowing about my health and what I can do to make sure that I'm healthy overall.
Oh, okay.
So it doesn't make me feel bad that his is better than mine.
Uh-huh.
Makes me feel good that his is healthier.
Okay. Different. But yes.
Healthier. Oh, okay. I will not use the word better. His is healthier than mine.
Okay.
Is that better?
Okay. Yes. If you're comparing that way as to what's healthy for him and what would be healthiest for you, if you compared yours and you had his number, it would be better for you. It would be healthier for you.
But that's what I mean by better.
Okay.
I'm not saying he's a better person, more valuable on this world. No. But it is a better as in healthier.
Right.
Because healthier is better. Right?
Yes, but I'm thinking like if you compare birds and their heart rates, you know, hummingbirds have very, very, very fast heart rates.
Right.
And a larger bird, crow or something, has slower heart rate.
They're literally not different species.
Well,
so you're right. I mean,
they're both birds.
But they're different species. And hummingbird, not really technically a bird. So
it's not.
I don't think so. I don't think it's necessarily like a regular bird. It's definitely something, but they're different species.
Okay.
I mean, dad is a male, so his heart rate would probably be lower, different, not better or not worse than mine anyways.
Right.
So in that case, I can see that.
Okay. Like
male, female differences anatomically, more muscle mass, less muscle mass, not healthier or not healthy.
Okay.
Right? That is legitimately simply just different.
Okay.
But his is healthier for him than mine is for me.
Okay. That's
all fair. Right, I'm done fighting.
Okay. Sorry. That's true. Yeah.
Sorry. I didn't expect it to be at the end. We're on.
That's fine. I think it happens too sometimes with people when they have like an internal decapitation where like your head doesn't actually come off, but it like severs your spinal cord and stuff.
Right.
And that can sever your carotid artery as well.
So it then just.
Yeah. Yeah. And he worked with Diane Ruggiero Wright, who was a writer and producer in Veronica Mars and this show, and Bates Motel.
I loved that.
Yeah.
That was so good.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Yeah.
You didn't like it so much.
I think we watched a few episodes and I had a hard time getting into it.
Man.
But I was trying to watch it with my husband, and I tend to be a little more critical of things when I watch with him.
Mm.
Like if he's not into it, I might be like, well, maybe I don't need to watch this anymore either. Not because I'm that easily influenced, but I'm like, well, if he doesn't want to watch it,
It won't be fun.
This is the kind of show that's more fun to watch with somebody else. And if I can't talk to him about it, I don't want to watch it.
I totally get that.
Yeah.
Because just recently, my husband and I were trying to get back into Handmaid's Tale because he has not finished what is out yet.
Okay.
So it was like, okay. But every time he watches it, he's just not into it.
Okay.
But then it's like he tries to convince himself that he is. So this past week, I like literally went on the mission of telling him to stop watching this show.
Oh, there you go.
Because like I just felt like you don't like it. Well, I'm sure it's not going to change.
Well, I mean, and that's the thing. My husband has a very mixed relationship with Handmaid's Tale, which I guess we'll just talk about it now. We're going to talk about the first episode of season 3 next time, because the next time we release an episode, the season 4 will have just premiered.
Yes, I'm so excited.
Yes, me too.
I'm so excited about that.
So. Yeah, yeah. So we're going to talk about that. But my husband, he'd like, wants to know what's going to happen next, but he never feels good about it.
No, same with my husband. He's like, he's not invested in June.
Okay.
He is because he wants to know what's happening, but he's actually more invested in some of the other characters. And I'm like, listen, they exist because of her. Like, everything is going to revolve around her experience of it. And so when she has an episode where she's doing a lot of reconciling her past, like with her mom or something like that, he's just not into it. Mm-mm. He is not there for that. And he feels like it's super slow. And I feel like all kinds of information is being revealed.
Right.
And I don't know. I guess that's interesting that both of them don't. And now I have a question. Like, is this not well received by men?
It's not that he is not invested in June, my husband. Mm-hmm. It's more that it feels a little too real. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I'm kind of watching television to get away from this stuff. Mm-hmm. And this is a little too close to home.
Okay.
So it's maybe a little too, though... Welcome to my world. This is exactly how I feel about it, is that it's a little too salient for something that was written in the 80s.
Oh, yeah. Right.
It's a little too on the nose right now.
I'm like taking notes so that I know my bug out options.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, yes, I'm reminding myself of what to pay attention to.
Uh-huh.
It is a little real. Although I think my husband feels the opposite, that it's just so unreal.
Oh.
And I don't know,
that
might be a step too far. He may not believe that, but I get this impression that that's why it's hard for him to resonate with.
Oh, that he feels like it's implausible.
Yeah.
And I feel like with every passing year, it's more plausible.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yes.
Interesting. Next up, the flight attendant. A troubled woman tries to get answers about a murder with the help of her imagination. It's every bit as much fun as it sounds, but it's also a little infuriating. But another great episode. I was an absolute mess the day that we recorded this, and you will hear that in all of these outtakes, and it was a lot of fun. And we talk about how the actor in The Flight Attendant, the main guy, was also in Game of Thrones, and we have a whole conversation about that. I forgot to talk about some stuff because of all the Game of Thrones talk. The dog comes in for a visit. You'll hear some of our talk that we do during our break. We talk about how Jackie's a light packer. And let's not shower on a plane because, ooh, it's dirty. He was similarly.
Wait.
He was in Orphan Black, Age of Adeline, and what I loved him in most was Game of Thrones.
Oh, wait. Who did he play in Game of Thrones?
I can't remember. The character was cast as a different actor the first time they showed him, and it was a love interest of Daenerys Targaryen, the leader of the paid army.
Yeah.
That she had a dalliance with.
Right.
So the first time they showed him was like the end of a season, and they had him cast as this blonde with like kind of a dirty blonde with kind of longish hair.
Uh-huh.
And the next season, the same character was this guy.
Oh, so he played both of the love interests. of hers?
Well, I don't know.
Didn't she have a fling with this guy with the long hair?
Well, yes.
And then she actually had a thing with the leader of the Apeat army,
that, too. That's the same character.
Yeah.
They recast the character.
With different actors?
Yes. Like, the guy who played it at the end of one season wasn't available to play it the next season. Oh. And so they had the same character, but they recast him. And this is the guy that was recast.
Okay.
Both gorgeous. I mean, really.
That's just your enthusiasm is so funny about this. It doesn't right now. Okay, wait. So you know that I never saw Game of Thrones.
I'm hoping that you'll change that.
We've talked about this a lot. Yes. I have to. But, you know, I read the books. We've said this a million times. But,
yeah.
Okay, so what did he look like? You said long blonde hair.
That's what the first character, first actor who played that character looked like.
Okay, so that's kind of interesting because I distinctly remember in the book she had two lovers about the same time. And the first one was the guy who was a little bit more conventionally beautiful, like she was, sort of like that Targaryen feel. Uh-huh. And then the leader of the paid army guy had the split goatee and the colorful hair and the whole thing. Did he look like that in the show?
No.
Oh, interesting.
I think he had a goatee, but I don't know if it was split.
Okay.
I don't know. It doesn't matter.
I'm just curious. See, look at me. I just watched the show. I mean, why am I? I'm just obviously I'm extremely curious about this. I should just
watch the show. Just, I mean, you're gonna go through it the same way you went through the books, where you were watching it on your Kindle and you were like, next page. Yeah. Oh, it's the end of the book, and then you realize you've read a 4-inch thick book.
Yes. I tell people all the time, I would have never bought this book if I had seen it at a bookstore.
Uh-huh.
Ever.
Yeah, but you just clicked right through.
I did.
You're going to be watching this on HBO, and it's going to come up with a little screen in the corner.
Yes.
That shows the next episode, and you're just going to...
Yes.
And I'm going to suggest...
Okay.
...that if it offers you the recap, especially from season 2 on... Watch the recap, even though you're still watching, because the recaps for, total aside, the recaps for Game of Thrones. I know we're not doing an episode on Game of Thrones. I'm aware of that. This is all going in the bonus. It doesn't matter.
Right. That's right. This is all bonus material.
Watch it because like in season 5 and 6.
Okay.
They'll show the recap and they'll pull stuff from season 1 that you don't remember.
Right.
And then you're like, oh, that makes so much sense.
Okay. All right.
Makes a lot more sense.
Okay. Watch the recaps. Got it.
Okay. And we quickly learn she's a complete mess.
Yeah.
Her coworkers know. Her brothers know. We know. Her brothers know. She had one brother. I'm going to say that again.
Okay.
I didn't talk about all the other people. That's all right. We just won't mention those other people today.
We talked about the ones we wanted to talk about. It's fine.
That's fine. God, what a mess. She's a mess. I'm a mess. You're a mess. So it's based on the book. There's the book of the same name by Chris I write these things down phonetically for myself, and it's been a day. Bohalian.
Yeah, Bohalian.
Okay. So it's based on a book of by this. Damn it.
It's one of those days. This was me last time, though. Do you remember?
Yes.
I couldn't spit anything out.
Yeah.
I don't know what was the problem, but I was like, I had to apologize because I was like, I'm making
it's
you
fine.
Edit.
It's fine.
Okay. That's a doggy.
That's a dog. They're not trying to get in. They're just sitting next to the door, scratching. Hi. Oh, hello.
Good girl.
Why aren't you playing with Shiloh?
Because you're recording.
Uh-huh. I'm supposed to be in here.
Yeah. Okay. And some people might really hate the expedite. I just hope that when you edit it, that there's actually enough there.
Oh, there will be.
I think there will be. But I'm just kind of laughing at, like, you know what I mean? Like,
we messed up. We talked. We went on a total assign. And
I feel like we ought to have a side effect. Oh my God. I think we ought to have like a sound effect.
Uh-huh. I have time travel music.
Yeah. So like when we start doing something like that, it comes on and says, catch the bonus episode.
Oh,
I'll record that. So it tells them that there's a tangent.
Okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Like maybe Why don't you say that?
Okay. Uh-oh.
Oh, hold on.
Sorry. Go ahead. Uh-oh, we're going on a tangent. Catch it in the bonus episode.
There we go. Yeah.
It's just something that maybe...
Yeah, that's fine.
You know, plug.
Yeah.
If it's helpful.
Yeah.
Maybe it works, maybe it doesn't.
Yeah.
Do that, but...
Well, now we've got it. So
you got
it's
it
good.
If you want it.
Yep.
Because sometimes I think it's funny how we go on a tangent and, like, people might not realize how much we do that unless you watch the bonus episode.
Yeah, until you come to the, like... These are, you know, outtakes episodes.
And then you're like, holy crap. But if you don't watch, if you don't listen to those, you might not know.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
All right. My off the wall ideas are dead. Okay. Let's do it.
And see, and you're a little freer to just go with the flow.
I
but
am.
See, but I'm getting better because I'm like, there's Walmart everywhere.
Well, and that is kind of my thinking is that there are certain things that are procurable pretty much everywhere. And, you know, I definitely pack with a strategy though.
Uh-huh.
My outfits are very like Lego pieces. They all kind of mix and match and go together.
Uh-huh.
So out of like 5 pieces of clothing, I can make a bunch of different outfits,
right.
Especially with a few accessories
mm-hmm.
that would change that. And winter makes that very easy. If you're in New York City, this is very easy because...
You're going to put a coat over it anyway.
Everything. So, I mean, yeah.
Nobody expects you to have 5 different coats when you're traveling to New York from out of town.
This is exactly right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a bit of that that's like, you know...
Yeah.
Just a strategy for the contingencies, but... you know, but there are some things that I'm like, I'll just go to Walmart.
Yeah, exactly. But I want a toothbrush. I don't want to have to,
yes.
I don't want my flight to be delayed and my luggage to be lost and not have a toothbrush or clean underwear.
Now, if I do pack larger because we're going to be gone longer and I just want more things, I also do have all of this in my onboard bag.
Okay.
So I do the same
good.
Thing. Okay. Because, you know, we lived in Seoul.
Yeah.
I mean, and I had babies.
Yeah.
And so I always had enough in our bags that I could, like, live for weeks without my actual luggage.
Uh-huh.
So yeah. I, you know, but when you're going with babies and stuff, Atlanta to Seoul and back or from Seoul to Atlanta for Christmas, we had a lot of baggage. And it wasn't overpacking. It was necessary.
Right.
So, I digress.
Yeah. But I don't think I would want to shower on a plane only because I get off an airplane and I feel dirty.
Oh.
So, I mean, I could shower, but the moment I step out of that area, I'm dirty again.
You know, it's funny because it's like you're in there and but as soon as you cross the threshold, it's like all the nastiness from the tarmac is blowing up in that very, very 2-inch gap.
Uh-huh.
Between the walkway and the door. And I feel like it's all that dust. That gets all over you. Because that's that smell.
Oh, okay.
Right?
I feel
that's
like it's
smell.
Human funk. Let's be honest. It's the fact that I know they can't properly clean that plane in between everybody getting off and everybody getting back on again. Mm-hmm. And it's just gross. We didn't talk about what we're going to talk about next time.
What are we talking about next
time? I don't know.
I don't think I even have anything on my list right now.
I think I have a list somewhere. I thought, we'll be together all day. We can talk about it. I'll bring it up. And I totally forgot. Does that look interesting to you?
It might be. Okay. If this doesn't fall into a trope. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, if it's a trope and we don't like it, those are fun too.
Those are fun too. Let's do it.
Okay.
Hopefully it's still on Hulu.
It is. I checked.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah. That's why I was like, is it really still on Hulu? I'm going to check.
Yeah. Sorry, I was just watching the trailer. I didn't see
No, that's fine. No, that's fine. Then we have our outtakes from A Kind of Murder, an unsatisfying film noir. We talk about Independence Day and The Martian, a couple of movies that we both enjoyed. Jackie didn't like Mad Men. I might die of boredom because of this movie. Wait, how do you say that? And the quote in the movie, it was correct.
There's probably a lot of bonus material in there.
Yeah, there probably
a lot of stuff. Like, I like summer blockbusters.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with watching aliens blow up the White House.
Thank you. Independence Day is like my favorite. I love, and now The Martian. The Martian is my new Independence Day. I can watch it anytime, anywhere. I love
that movie. It's Have you the read best. The book?
No.
Oh, God. You've got to read it.
Do I really?
You've got to. When you take vacation this summer and you want a book to read.
Okay.
You will devour it. It was so good.
Okay. I might have to do that, but okay. I will see Matt Damon.
Yeah. Yes, as you should. As you should. Let me check my notes to make sure that I'm
okay.
Not going to mess something up because I had a revelation. Okay, well, I'll just talk about it. Okay.
But that was I hated Mad Men.
Okay.
Couldn't watch it. Okay. I have like no margin to glorify or look at film that is puts women in those positions. Like, yeah. I personally just don't have the margin for it.
That's fine. Yeah, I won't make you watch it.
It's all good. I mean, if I could watch it for the podcast. I just...
No, I don't think there's enough, like, crimey stuff in the first episode or two of that. It's more, like, dirty 50s, 60s. Oh, I watched 60s. The first few
episodes. Yeah. I did, but I couldn't watch it. But I think that's my problem with film noir in general.
Yeah.
But just in general.
Okay. That's fair.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. Ironically, it's produced by McCormick's producing company called Killer Films.
Really? Well, if they wanted me to die of boredom, then...
A lot of casting changes.
Oh, really?
Hmm. Yeah.
That's interesting. I don't think it was the cast, though.
I don't. I think they nailed exactly what they were supposed to do, like what they were told to do. I really do. I don't think they were given any... space either.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. Yeah. That's why I like Jessica Biel's performance, though, because I thought that for what she was supposed to be, which she kind of could tell what she was supposed to be, which is probably why I was like, "Thou doth protest too much," like about the mental illness. It's a little too much. But on the other hand, I thought she played it exactly right.
Okay.
I don't know. Like I thought.
Yeah, I thought she was. She was the most successful, and she died halfway through. And when she died, I was like, finally. Like, maybe something's going to finally happen in this movie. And, like, no. Mm-mm. The most interesting character was just gone.
She was the most interesting character. She is the one who was, you know, vibrant on screen.
Mm-hmm. No. Okay.
Too bad.
Yep.
All right. Is it fictitious?
Oh, yes.
I thought it was fictitious.
I don't know. It's spelled funny. F-A-C-I-T-I-T-I-O-U-S.
Yeah. I think it's fictitious.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fictitious. There's an extra I in there. It's got me confused. Okay.
Fictitious? I don't know.
That's what I thought. Fictitious. T-I-T-I.
Oh, because you said fastidious.
Oh, did I?
I didn't hear a T, so I got confused, though. Because
I don't know.
I have only read this word.
Okay. Yeah.
We always say Munchausen's.
Right. Yes. Wait,
I never like actually say this word.
Uh-huh.
I have no idea how to say it.
Yeah. This is what Munchausen's is actually called. Yeah, if you were going to look it up in.
Factitious is T-I-O-S-U-S is the shus. Factitious. Okay. I don't think you only say the one T. Factitious.
Okay.
I don't know.
I don't know. Munchausen's.
Munchausen's.
Possibly let's Munchausen's.
Just, you know what? Bonus episode. Let's just say. Okay.
Kimmel was right about the quote attribution.
Okay, so, I was wondering whether he was playing a mind game or not.
Yeah, so Detective Corby shows up and is harassing him.
Yeah.
It was annoying, the whole harassment thing where I'll see you tomorrow. I thought it was annoying. I mean, I get it. I get what he was trying to do.
Yeah. Break him down.
Yeah. So Kimmel says nobody holds a good opinion of a man who holds a low opinion of himself. And Corby thinks it's Mark Twain, but actually it was Anthony Trollope from his novel Orley Farm.
Mm-hmm.
George Orwell was a fan of Anthony Trollope and Orley Farm.
Okay.
For what that's worth. It's from like the mid 1800s.
Yeah. Okay. I thought it was an interesting quote.
Yeah.
Because I felt like, I agree with it. I also agree with the opposite. Nobody holds a good opinion of a man who holds a really high opinion of himself either. So stay humble.
There's a middle ground. You need to be humble enough for people to like you, but not so humble that you're self-depreciating in a way that makes you untrustworthy.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
All right, this final set of outtakes is from the talented Mr. Ripley, a serial killing con artist. Patricia Highsmith wasn't a great role model. The representation of homosexuals was troubling in the late 90s. We talk about U.S. and Korean cultural differences. A record I purchased in high school. Luxury was maybe a little easier in the 1950s, at least compared to now. Jackie relays a story about skiing, which is all around delightful. We talk about abortion in 1950s Italy, how being born into wealth can be a challenge. And we mention an article that I can no longer find about a man who drew pictures on pin pads instead of signing. And it's just so much fun. Well, and Patricia Highsmith was a lesbian. Mm-hmm. And so she's kind of pulling maybe from her own experience a little bit here.
I'm sure it's beautiful, the way that she writes it.
It may be. She is also very bigoted. So,
Wait, what? Back up.
There's a whole, I'll put it on the social media, but there's a whole, like, she was not a great person.
I'm still
going.
I'm like, what?
Oh, she was evidently awful. Like a really, like, not a great human being.
No,
but a really talented writer.
Apparently.
Yeah.
I kind of felt bad that this was the homosexuality story we were telling in the 1990s because I was like, mm-hmm. Oh, they didn't need any more bad press. I know right. that every people are people.
Right.
And it doesn't matter whether you look at the heterosexual groups or the homosexual groups or the pansexual groups right. or whatever. You're going to find people who are narcissists and like toxic individuals. Uh-huh. But I felt like, oh, they didn't need any because they're coming from so far behind and fighting such an oppression, which mm-hmm. maybe that's why I saw so much in the ending was that they
right.
were trying to show that.
But Peter was so good and kind and open.
Yeah.
So not all. Mm-hmm. Though I really hate it, but not all men. We know not all men.
I mean, like, okay, we lived in Korea
right.
for 2 years. One of the training, because they do a little training culturally just to help you understand some things, and that's really important, and they recommend some books and things. And so one of the things that helped American, you know, airmen and soldiers and their families to understand was this difference. Because in Korea, it's very common for girls and boys to walk around holding hands the same way that we did when we were little kids.
Right.
They carry that innocence and that particular, well, sensuality of mm-hmm. expression into their adulthood. And so you might see men wearing pink also, which in our culture is considered like girl, but the rest of the world doesn't see it that way. Pink's right. just another color.
Yeah, and as so, it should be.
As it should be.
Colors are for everyone.
Everyone. So in Korea, you might see men wearing pink and holding hands, and that does not mean they're gay. And they had to tell, like, military individuals who were going there, like, you need to know this.
Uh-huh.
Because in America, that would signify something.
Right.
And it does not signify anything.
It signifies friendship.
A friendship.
Or a close relationship, but not necessarily a sexual one.
Right. Yeah. And not only that, they had to explain that even femininity was not necessarily an indicator the same way that in America, it's an indicator.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just different. You want to chalk it up to just different cultures, but I actually think that it's more sinister than that. Mm. I do think our Western culture was influenced, you know, in toxic ways
that
caused
fair.
Us to have these things because we're like the only ones, y'all.
Yeah.
Not the only ones, but like among the free world, we're like the only ones who have this issue. Not that that other cultures haven't, well, obviously, sodomy was a death penalty.
Right.
Obviously, other cultures dealt with homosexuality and things, but it was much more in terms of what they were trying to do religiously and what they, and figuring out how that all worked. Whereas ours is very intertwined with culture, religion, and bias.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's interesting that they would have, maybe it made it easier for the Italians to ignore homosexuality when your whole culture is more sensual and they have a touchy-feely sort of culture between all genders already. Right. Well, look at them. They're friends. That's normal for them to walk around. Yeah, it's normal for them to walk around and hold hands. It doesn't mean that they're gay because gay people don't really exist in Italy, though they totally did.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. There's more of a, it's more of a religious thing, didn't understand. It's just different than the toxicity, I think. Not that it doesn't exist everywhere. I want to be clear about that. There is definitely persecution and oppression
absolutely
all over the world for the homosexuality community and the whole LGBTQ community.
Right.
But there was a difference in the journey. The terrain was different.
Uh-huh.
The journey may have been similar, but the terrain was very different in Europe versus here, which is maybe why we're still kind of on that journey, because
okay,
our terrain was a little rougher.
Okay.
Maybe.
Mm. Interesting. Interesting.
Deal with it. Mm-hmm. And now I've got a song in my head. I hear the secrets. Oh! All
right. I bought that on a record. At awesome. I bought it at a thrift store, though. It was a total aside. So when I was in high school, there was a little putt-putt golf course.
Okay.
And you could go play putt-putt. And the place where you went in and paid was a little thrift store.
Oh, how fun.
I don't even remember where it was now, but it's not there anymore.
I was about to say, I don't remember.
No, but that's where I bought the single on a 45 record.
Oh, so cool.
Yeah.
You know, okay, so, all right, an aside, but adjacent.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Luxury was so much easier then.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, like luxury was a refrigerator.
Yes.
Or a coffee maker.
I mean, yes. A refrigerator or coffee maker. I don't know. I think I might give up. I don't know. I say this. I wonder if I would be willing to give up all of the luxury of this day to have that villa on an island if I knew that it was going to be empty and devoid of any other conveniences that I like now, right? They had no, if I got rid of the microwave and all of the conveniences and the big refrigerator, right? And all of that, but I could hire the housekeeper and the chef who would go to the market and get the food and actually prepare it
because yeah,
I want it to taste good. And let's face it, that's not my, that's not my deal. So if I could trade that, I don't know.
Would you? You might. You'd have to think about it.
Think about it, because that means I have to get rid of computers,
mm-hmm,
and television,
yep,
and podcasts.
I know,
and my phone.
I like my phone a lot.
And AC.
Oh, Italy's hot in the summer, especially now.
Yeah.
Can I?
I mean, they're on the ocean, though.
Yeah, you can go swimming.
They have that breeze.
Yeah.
Always. If you live on the water,
you know, you do have the breeze, but you have nowhere to escape to on a hot night.
No,
there's not a movie theater in town to go.
No, and the icebox is too small to crawl in.
Yeah,
you can't just you ever open the refrigerator on a hot day to stand in front of it like, you can't do that with a little icebox.
No, because your ice will melt too fast.
Yes, so you really can't do
then
that.
Your beer won't be cold.
Oh, but you can get a beer or a soda or something and do the bottle, right? Because mm-hmm, a glass bottle, so you could.
I don't know.
What would you do?
I don't know that I would like it very much.
No.
No.
You like today's conveniences better than luxury?
I think so, because I like to cook.
Yeah, you're like really good at cooking.
Yeah. And I generally enjoy it.
But you could go to the market and get all the stuff and come home and cook it.
Mm-hmm.
You could do that and do it well. And all your ingredients would be perfectly fresh.
That's right, because I'd just go every day.
Right.
And I'd have time to go every day or two because I, you know, wouldn't be distracted by all these other things.
Right.
But I really like my air conditioning.
That would be like also deal breaker. Is it as hot in Italy as it is in San Antonio, Texas? Let's open the weather app.
I don't know. let me find the name of the town.
Oh, yeah.
Look.
Let's see how hot it is. Because we live, it's as we speak,
is stupid here.
As we speak, it is 93.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Which is actually not too bad for this week. This week's been hot.
Oh, and it started to go down because we've had some clouds and maybe a little rain. Maybe a little gully wash. So actually it's going down. We're going to be in the high 80s.
Okay.
For a little while.
Oh, good. Okay. That's all right. So what's the weather in ISCHIA, Italy?
Oh, got it.
Okay. Ischia.
Now, it's the middle of the night.
Oh, that's true.
Okay, but I'm going to hit the hourly. Actually, I'm going to hit the daily. And let's see here. High tomorrow of 81.
Okay. That's pretty nice. That's some decent beach weather.
I mean, that is.
And the Mediterranean's cold.
Yeah, there is your ice box. I probably still wouldn't get in it. It'd be like freaking 85 degrees. I'd be like, it's cold.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, my pool is like 90 degrees. Yeah, like that's. Okay, that's not bad.
It's not bad. And they're skiing pretty close.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't know if I would do it.
All right. Everybody's going to have to like drop in their comments.
Yeah.
And tell us what they would do it.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, they'll probably hear most of this conversation later. Because a lot of this is going to end up in a bonus episode.
Yes, of course it is. We have more trails than rats. Okay.
All right. Let's go.
You remember the game Red Rover?
Mm-hmm.
I'm coming down this hill and very novice. I'm not really in control of these things. Like, snowplow, right? Like, you're supposed to be able to slow down, whatever. But this, like, family and this group had decided it was cute to hold hands and spread out across the whole hill. And so I'm coming down screaming, watch out. And I freaking like go right.
Did you
right
take somebody
the,
out?
I took the whole crowd out. It was Red Rover. I hit the two in between because I was like, I'm not going to hit a person. I'm going to hit like.
Right. Hands. Maybe hands. They'll just let go.
That's it. And instead of letting go.
They all went down.
They all went down. Took out like eight of them. I get to the bottom of this run. I hadn't fallen down once on this run. It was amazing. I get to the bottom. My friends that were there cheer, like, yes! And I raised my sticks to go, yes! And fell over. And I said to myself, that's the last time I'm going to ski. I have other things I can do. Okay.
So, but the idea that abortion would have been a thing she needed help with in 1958.
I wondered about this.
It would have been illegal and expensive.
I was about to say, that wasn't like an option.
Well, it was an option if you had enough money.
Well, I guess Dickie and them did.
Well, and then he refused to give poor Silvana any.
Right.
He basically told her, not my problem, even though she was engaged and was evidently not sleeping with her fiancé, so her fiancé would have known it was not his.
Right.
But abortion didn't become legal in Italy until 1978, so it wouldn't have been an easy thing for her to obtain.
That does
so.
Make sense why then she would ask Dickie for help.
Right.
Like even more sense.
Right.
More than just, hey, you need to help me with this and you have money and it costs money. I mean, she needed like Dickie-sized money.
Right. Yes.
And
yes.
Dickie was like,
not my problem.
Whatever. Okay.
Later. See? And this is why Dickie wasn't very likable.
Right. Those are the things that drove you crazy because he was a player. And
yes.
He was the type to be like, oh, I'm a player. Don't hate the player.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Game. Like that was kind of his thing, even if he was. Had a lot of other good qualities.
Mm-hmm. So I couldn't find a specific jazz music festival in San Remo, but there is an annual music festival that's been happening there since 1951, and it includes a competition element.
Ooh, fun.
Yeah. Yeah. So I thought that was kind of fun. Now, the being born into wealth does seem to be an obstacle for Dickie.
Yes, and Meredith talks about it, too, in the
yes,
movie.
Yes, yes. Being born into wealth is a challenge. So, Bernie Klinder, an entrepreneur, investor, and consultant, wrote a response on Quora to a question of this similar. And he has some thoughts. He said in his experience that a lot of the kids born into wealth, their motivation isn't intrinsic. It's just that they want to meet their parents' expectations, that they don't have a lot of drive, that they, and of course, there's a lot of examples where that is not true.
That's, yeah.
But he said often, like the average people you meet, the ones that you don't end up hearing about because they're not Elon Musk or Mark Zuckerberg, you know, or Steve Jobs, really all they're trying to do is not disappoint their parents.
Right.
Yeah. And he tells the story about a young man that he had known when they were young who had everything. His dad bought him, you know, car and a house and, you know, paid for school and all the things, and how they lost track of one another. And 15 years after college, when he looked him up and they met, and this guy who had had everything bragged about how, you know, he'd done such a good job and he'd started his own investment consulting service, and oh, his life was just perfect. And like a month later, he killed himself. Yeah, because he wasn't really happy.
No.
He was always putting this pretense in. And his advice is just like, pay attention to your own stuff. Don't look at the guy in the next lane, because they're born into different circumstances and you can't really know them.
Yeah, that's hard. It's hard for people who did not grow up wealthy or even, you know, flush, right, to understand that there is actual pressures and sadness and all of these things when you look at those who are.
Right.
Right? Like, because you, because when you're without, it means everything.
Right.
And when you have it, it doesn't mean near as much.
Right.
And so it's really kind of a weird thing to get at people, but there's a resentment in the middle.
Well, yes.
There's, and that's what causes it. That's what causes the lack of empathy, I think, between the well, if I'm boiling it down to two groups.
Right.
Is that there's a resentment for those who have it and don't have to work so hard. And there's a resentment on the other side that the other people have freedom and aren't just clones of their family.
Right.
And you know, and so, and neither quite understands how hard it is to be on the other side of that, you know, but this whole trust fund baby kind of wealth, that's like a whole nother.
That's a different level.
That's a whole nother ballpark. Like, I can't imagine the pressures.
No.
If your parents aren't amazing people.
Right.
If your parents are not awesome.
Yeah. Right?
Like, if they're, like, struggling in parenthood to understand and they need you to be, like, the legacy, that is like, right? I can't imagine that. And on the other hand, I can't imagine the amount of resources they have to like...
Right, to be able to do all the things.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is funny. Did you ever read that article about the guy who started drawing things on the little pin pads and start... Instead of signing, he would just draw things to see how much he could get away with. Penises and all kinds of stuff.
That's funny.
Yeah. All right. That's all we have for today. We are back with you with brand new, fun, fresh content. Next time, we are going to be talking about a TV series inspired by a cult favorite movie, Fargo. You are not going to want to miss this. It is going to be a great, great time. So do rate and review wherever you get podcasts. Tell a friend, because it's way more fun when you can listen with a friend. And until next time, be safe, be kind, and wash your hands. Bum, bum, bum. Bum, bum. Da, 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 da.